Making you nervous, huh? See, just a little one today. You know how my little ones really are, so. I know, that's what I saw the one. So from this back one, I know I have about 10 minutes before it starts the whole thing on fire. Just need to get my papers arranged here because there is more than, it looks like a lot, but a lot of more verses and then just summaries and other oddball things. All right, it is the Christmas season. Tomorrow is Christmas. Whoa. What happened to this year? Just turned January 1st, 2023, and now we're at the end, heading into 2024. I don't know what happened to this year, but it has gone fast. It has gone really fast. Well, Father, we just pray you just give us the words. Father, give me the heart of your message, Father, that I can transpose it. Father, we just give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So it is Christmas. The Christmas times a year. How often does it snow on Christmas? If you look at randomness over the last 100 years, the odds of it snowing on Christmas is 2 in 5. So 2 years out of every 5 years, it is going to snow on Christmas. So you think about it, you know, it may not snow for 5 years, then snow 4 years in a row. So on the average, it's going to go 2 to 5 years. It's pretty good odds that we'll have a white Christmas. What's your odds of getting struck by lightning? On Christmas. And struck by lightning, not on a golf course with a big pole. Because those are things you can control, technically, in trying to get struck by lightning. But being struck by lightning, the odds are 1 in 15,300. Not too bad, actually. Pretty good odds. So let's go to the beach. What's your odds of getting bitten by a shark?
Zero.
Because you're not in the water. Those that go in the water.
It's called an ocean.
Or, yes. Or those that are not in the middle of a sharknado. What's your chances of getting bitten by a shark is 1 in 3.7 million. What are the odds that you'll win the Powerball? Anybody play the Powerball and wanting to win? Your odds are 1 in 292.2 million. That's not very good odds. What's the odds the Colts are going to win the Super Bowl this year? What about the 49ers?
Probably a lot higher.
A lot higher. So what are the odds? Okay, now, who's going to win the Super Bowl in 2035? Anybody going to, come on, I want to hear, who's going to win the Super Bowl in 2035? You guys know?
The
team with the highest score. Good answer. What about 2060, the year 2060, who's going to win the Super Bowl? Huh? The Browns, you think so? Better yet, tell me, who's going to be the name of the quarterback? What city is he going to be born in?
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady. He's still going to be alive. I don't think so. But I want to hear it. What's your chances? Can you tell me who's going to be the quarterback of the winning football team in 2060? What city is he going to be born in? What day is he going to be born in? Anything about the guy that's going to be there? How he's going to die? There's no way. There's no way you can determine that or even prophesy that or even in your wildest dreams say it. Even time travelers, right, come back. They can only give you a window. You know, but yet, in Scripture, Micah 5:2 said that Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem. 700 years before Christ was even born. David said he was going to die 1,000 years. My God, why have you forsaken me? Daniel, 530 years before, said when it was going to happen. Can you imagine that? We did a nativity, live nativity, with the verses along the way. It started out in Genesis 3:15. And I will put an enemy between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and he will strike his heel. From the very beginning of time, God had placed this in effect and started to tell humanity what his plan was. He said, he will make a way in Genesis 3:15. He even became more specific in Genesis 49:10. He said, the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between the feet, until to whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nations shall be his. That it's going to come from the line of Judah. He's telling us more. And then in Isaiah 11:1, a different writer says, a shoot will come from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots a branch will bear fruit. So not only from Judah, but the line of Jesse and the line of David. People are saying these things, different people in the Bible. In Numbers, it even says, Numbers 24:17, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. In Numbers, one of those books you just sort of glance through and go, oh my gosh, I can never finish this, because it goes on and on and on. It says that this Messiah, God's plan, is going to be coming from a specific branch of Abraham, a star, a scepter, kingship, stars, prophesying what this is going to be like. And not only that, in Isaiah then he goes, 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. What nonsense! If you're thinking about back then, a virgin becoming pregnant, giving birth to a son? No, that doesn't make sense. Let's shove that on the shelf and let's see what happens with it. You know, we think it's and practical prophecy. It never happened. And then Isaiah 9:6-7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness and of his greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And he will be called all those names, Emmanuel. He will be called Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, and Everlasting Father. And then Micah 5:2, not only that, then, like the football player, where is he born? But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathim, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old. Out of Bethlehem he will come. So out of Bethlehem, if you think about that, prophesying that he's going to be born in Bethlehem, but yet Jesus Christ, his parents did not live in Bethlehem. So how can you prophesy that somebody's going to be born in a city that they don't even live in, that they have to travel to? Be like, you're going to be born in New York City. No, I live in Indiana. Something happens, you have to go out there, boom, you're born. The chances of that are minuscule to even mention it. And then Psalm 72:10-11. May the kings of Tarshish and the distant shores bring tribute to him. May the kings of Sheba and Seba present his gifts. May all kings bow down to him and all nations serve him. Kings serving the king. Kings serving the king, yeah. That kings from all over will come and serve this scepter that God has promised and prophesied. And these are just his first birth. In the first 2 years, then, what happens? Jeremiah 31:15 says, this is what the Lord says, a voice is heard in Ramah, mourning and great weeping, Rachel weeping to be comforted because they are no more. What? How? How can we put all these together? It doesn't make sense. In Hosea 11:1, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt, I called him my son. We look at these prophecies and say, how? How can these occur? We have Jesus born to two people from Nazareth who get called by a census out of their control to go to Bethlehem when she's due to have her child. In Bethlehem, they can't find anything. She gives birth to her son. There's no place in the inn, so they have to go to the manger and lay the Christ child in a manger in swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes. They pronounce it to the shepherds that are out in their fields, that are getting lambs ready for temple use. When they find the perfect lamb, they wrap it in swaddling clothes and lay it in the manger so that it will not be damaged, and then take it to the priest to be examined. What symbolic message God sent just in that coincidence that he was born and laid in a manger in swaddling clothes. He's the perfect sacrifice, the perfect lamb. And the shepherds rejoiced. And then several months later, it's not the kings didn't come when Jesus was born. We always put it that way. But several months later, the kings in Babylon in the east noticed a star coming through the constellation of Judah, the lion, Leo, and Venus, and Jupiter all came together. I believe that's the way it did come. Otherwise, others would know us and realize it. That they were watching, and all these things came together, and they said, the king of Judah has been born. Let's go worship him. And they take off, and they go to try to find this son that was born, this king that was born. Of course, they talk to Herod. They say it's supposed to be in Bethlehem. They go to Bethlehem. They see the star, and they're led to Jesus, and they present him with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Myrrh, what you wrap dead people in. Healing. Frankincense. And then gold. King that's going to die, presenting it there already, but coming to heal through his death. Those three gifts. And then they were warned by the Magi to get out of there, that Herod is looking to kill them, because Herod didn't want any king but him. So what did they do? They took off, and where'd they go? They went to Egypt. They could have went anywhere, but they went to Egypt, the very country that God had called them out of in the book of Exodus. They went back to where they were. They spent some time there. In the meantime, Herod killed all the babies. Killed all the babies. They were 2 years old and under in that region, so they could kill the king. But when the time came, God called him out of Egypt to come back. Not back to Bethlehem, but back to Nazareth, so it could fill even more prophecies. It's amazing. When you look at it, and you look at all the prophecies that were written, here are all the prophecies that I just went over, all those scriptures, all written down, all across the Old Testament. Almost 1,500 years of words of what God was going to do. And all you see is the Old Testament. You see these scriptures. But when you bring them all together, I don't know if the ones in front can see it, it says Jesus. So when you look at all the prophecies apart from each other, you don't put it together until you fold it up, put them together, looked intently, and you see that it all leads to Jesus. It's all about Jesus. The whole Old Testament points to Jesus and what he's going to do. His birth, his death, and resurrection. If you look at it, all the prophecies he could not fulfill. Half of them or more are stuff out of his control. I mean, they're talking about crucifixion, which didn't even exist when David prophesied about being nailed to a tree. It didn't exist at that time. And the Romans, when they crucified people, matter-of-factly, when they took them down from the cross, they broke their legs, period. But yet prophesied that none of his bones would be broken. And Jesus' side was pierced, but none of his bones were broken. Out of his control. He can't control these. These are just eight or so prophecies. A gentleman from Westmount College wanted to look at the probabilities. I don't know if you guys are in probability instead of stats. So if you have three items, you took three to the little exclamation point, it's 3 × 2 × 1, 6. There's 6 different ways that you can arrange those things. I mean, that you can have different arrangements. You keep going up the lines, you have this randomness, you put all these things together, you get the stats, what's the odds? What's the odds, like I say, of Colts winning the Super Bowl? Not much at all, because they're bad. Sorry. But he took it actually to 12 classes, 600 university students. And they factored in anything. They tried to factor in like the chances of somebody knowing the prophecies and trying to fulfill them on their own, things out of their control that they don't have the possibility of doing. I mean, it was different people, different skeptics that did this. And they looked at it, and just the odds of him being born in Bethlehem and looking at that was 1 in 300,000. Better than winning the lottery, but not too good of odds. So they looked at these odds like that. They kept on digging at them, kept on decreasing the odds, you know, try to get established. Okay, even the most skepticals, what odds would you say of these things occurring? What are the odds? And then he took those and gave them to the American Scientific Affiliation and said, how do these numbers match up? And they matched up, and they said, that is okay. You know, your randomness, your odd making is accurate. Saying that, fulfilling 8 prophecies, the chances of Jesus fulfilling those 8 prophecies is 1 × 10⁻¹⁷. 1 × 10⁻¹⁷. That's a 1 with 17 zeros behind it. 17 zeros. A quarter is about an inch round, to give you an idea what this is. Okay, a quarter is about an inch round. So if you took all the quarters, lined them up next to each other, you would cover the whole state of Texas. Okay? So every square inch of Texas would be covered by a quarter, and then you'd have to stack them on top of each other, and it'd be 84 quarters high. So the whole state of Texas with 84 quarters up is the chances, or is 1 to the 17th power, 10 to the 17th power. So now we have to mark one of those, put a mark on it, mix it all up, parachute somebody down in there, blindfolded, have them grab a coin and say, this is it. that's the chances of any one person randomly fulfilling all these prophecies, and that's only eight of them. That's only eight prophecies. Let's put that up a little bit. Let's go up to 48 prophecies. Okay, so there's a lot of direct prophecies around 48 that are very, very direct about his death, his resurrection, all the things, 3 days in the belly of the whale, all these type of things that are very consistent. If you take it up to 48 prophecies, okay, it jumps the odds to 1 times 10 to the 157th power. To give you an idea of that, okay, so what we're going to do is give you an idea. Are you guys all familiar with atoms, the little guys that nobody can see? Well, in the atom are protons, electrons, and neutrons. Electrons are little. They're littler than the protons and the neutrons. And you line those up in a little line, and there's 2.5 times 10 to the 15th. Little electrons lined up will make an inch, okay? So if you wanted to count them, it'd take almost, 20 billion years to count the number of electrons in that inch? All right, think of that. That's a heck of a lot in an inch, okay? To get to 1 and 100 to the 157th power, you have to expand that out. So let's expand it out. How big do you think it is? So those electrons would fill up the entire known universe, not once, but 3 times 10 to the 45th power. Universes. That's 45 zeros behind the 3, the number of universes that those number of electrons would fill up. Now mark one of those electrons. Shoot somebody up into space. What's the chances of them finding that electron that was marked? Zero. Zero. Impossible. Impossible. Yet Christ fulfilled every one of those prophecies. And how many was there? Well, just in the prophecy of Christ's life to date, estimate, standard estimate, 351. Here's a list of all the prophecies and whether they're fulfilled in the New Testament. 351. If 48 is 10 to the 157th power, what is 351? It's immeasurable. It's impossible. It's amazing that God told us in the Old Testament his plan of redemption, his plan to bring us all here, fulfilled it so there's not even one doubt. A rational mind would look at this and say there's no way that that's possible. No way that the Old Testament, the books of the Bible, could prophesy and be that accurate on somebody not even born yet. It's amazing. It's amazing. We rejoice. We rejoice in God's love that he came, that his only begotten Son came, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. Because he did not come in to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That, Charlie Brown, is the meaning of Christmas. So what I'm going to do to close is I am going to read Luke 2, the Christmas story. From the Christmas story, for those that could not attend, we have the video of driving through the live nativity that Beth put on. And then when that's done, the lights will be off still. Let's gather around. The usual tradition here is to hold hands in a big circle, if you've never been here before, and sing Silent Night, and we'll be dismissed. Okay? All right. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. For today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those whom his favor rests."
"Therefore the Lord himself will give you a son. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel."
Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus.
Praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." Saw this child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
that program.
For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him.
We gotta get Kylie in here. You on that side to make her?
I think it was the
what you call it, player.
So it's probably from that.
Ready, we're gonna sing. Ready, we're gonna sing. Ready? Jesus was the light into the world. Let us go be the light to the world and show his love to others and rejoice this holiday season. For he has come. He has come to be with us, and he died for us. Amen. Merry Christmas.
Did you hear Daddy on the video? What? He came to see the child.
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 Yeah, I was like, I don't know why he did that, because...
No,